Okay, everybody say. Standing before Shabbat Shuva, before Yom Kippur. And I'm sure the thought that runs through your heads, the same thought that runs through my head, is this is deja vu all over again. The story goes that there was a kehillah that complained to their rav, said, Rabbi, how come every single year give us the same shmooze before Yom Kippur? So he said to them, how come every single year you keep doing the same averis? The point is that we got to dredge up, but not dredge up. We got to discuss who we were last year and who we're going to be this year. And even though it seems to be sometimes an exercise that we find maybe futile, the truth is it really isn't for many reasons. I'd like to discuss with you why it's not an exercise in futility and how to be more productive this year than last year. First, you know, in davening, we say throughout the service, May Tshuva, Sanig, Rosh Hashanah, Shere Malos Mimamakim Karasicha Hashem, Mimamakim. The word Mimamakim means from the depths. From whose depths? What depths? So the simplest pshat, David HaMelech is talking about his own depths of despair. Shere Malos Mimamakim means from my depths of despair, I call to you, Karasicha Hashem. And that's certainly true. A deeper level, it means something else. Sharmalas mimamakim means from the depths of my neshama. I'm calling to Hashem from the deepest part of my neshama that really, really wants to be better. But on a deeper level yet, mimamakim refers to the depths of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mimamakim karasich Hashem, I'm drawing you out, Hashem, from your depths. Now what does that mean? What does that mean? Again, on the simplest level, Mimamakim means the depths of despair. I feel terrible. I feel I've hit rock bottom. Mimamakim on another level means the depths of my neshama. But Mimamakim could also mean the depths of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? In the same way that we have deep inside of us a will to be connected to Hashem. Why? It's really a chok. It's just wired into us. Why do you breathe? Why do you want to live? You can't analyze why you want to live. We're wired to want to live. Well, we're also wired, if you will, to want Hashem. That's it. Ki chayt liYisrael. In the same way, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deepest ratzon is to have a relation with us no matter what. Why? Kach Ritzayin Eshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's called Ratzon Elyon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, he desires in every which way to have a relationship with us. But here's the way it works. And especially during the Yagimel Midas, which you're going to say numerous times in Yom Kippur, Rabbi says it's one of the most powerful weapons that you're going to have in your arsenal, is the Yagimel Midas, Hashem Hashem Kemali Rachman. We say it numerous times over Yom Kippur. This is exactly the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to use to ask kapara for the biggest chet of chet to egel. And Yigim Yisrachim is the tefillah that we use. This tefillah, the reason why it's so potent is because it does exactly what we wanted to do, which is to trigger HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim. How? If we're able to express through the Yigim Midas our deepest rotzin, Mimamakim, our deepest ratzin, that automatically triggers HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, if you will, deepest ratzin for us. That's the power of Yigim Midas Rachamim. When we say them with kavana and you say them slowly, Rabbi Yisai, and focus on that when you're davening Yom Kippur. It's one tefillah, you become familiar with it. And before Yom Kippur starts, read over the Yom Gimel Zerachimim. But no, it's an incredibly powerful weapon. When you say it, you're touching the depths of your neshama, and by doing so, you're able to trigger HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deepest rutzen for us, that no matter what, it's logical, Hashem loves us when we're doing good. But just like a mother, Rabbi Nami used the example of a mother and a child, it almost defies logic, the love of a mother for a child. It's true. In the same way that we're able to go to the Ratzon of Hashem and bypass the logic, so to speak. We're chayte, we sin. Why should Hashem want a relationship? It doesn't make a difference. It's the deepest source of Hashem to always want to be with us. That's the power of the Gilgulis HaRachamim. You have to use it, you have to know what it is. I'll tell you a story that I'm not quite sure what to make of the story. It just happened last week, and I guess there are a couple of lessons in it that I took home, and I think it's something that I found very interesting. It happened literally last week. I was away for Shabbos. It was 2 weeks ago, actually. And this fellow said he wants to meet with me. He was in Washington, D.C. He wants to meet with me. Somebody I know who comes for Shabbosim, and he says, Rabbi, I have to tell you something. I feel very badly about something, and I need to confess something to you. I said, all right. And typically speaking, we don't confess to rabbis. That's not the Jewish way. You confess that the Eibishter. It's between you and Hashem. He says, no, I need this. I need advice. I said, okay, advice is something else. He said, I have to tell you the truth. When I was in high school, I messed around big time. Big time. And I didn't ask him what it was. I didn't have to ask him what it was. He said, and I really wanted to get myself to an Ivy League college. I really wanted to get an Ivy League college. And I knew there was no way. There's no way it's going to happen. My grades just were lousy. And I got in trouble day and night. Now, this is a guy who claimed he was not a mammon. Oh, certainly doubtfully. This is someone who doesn't know if he really believes in Hashem or not. And he certainly wasn't a religious Jew. Certainly that's not the case. He said, I tell you what I did. I said to Hashem, I'm making a deal with you. If you get me into an Ivy League college, I'm going to keep Shabbos for an entire year. And then he broke it down. He said, I couldn't keep Shabbos in America, and nobody's from where I live, I have to go to Israel. So I'm going to go to Israel, but I'll go for 10 months. I'll keep 40 Shabbos in there, and 12 when I get back, a full year. That's the deal I'm going to make. And he meant it. On the other hand, he really didn't think that it would happen. Anyway, make a long story short, it doesn't make any sense. He got into an Ivy League college. He actually went to Ivy League law school, too. He went to Harvard Law School. He's one of the most chashva lawyers on a very, very chashva firm right now. By the way, becoming a partner. And he kept his end of the bargain. He went to Eretz for a year, for 40 Shabbosim. He went to yeshiva. He told me he had a negative experience with yeshiva. Now I know why. He said, I really didn't go to yeshiva to go to yeshiva. I went to yeshiva just to serve time, to keep my Shabbosim. So that's why he never really became frum, because he was just fulfilling, he felt his obligation. But he said, Rabbi, I got to tell you something. The last 12, I never did. It's haunting me. This goes back, it must be 10 years. About 10 years. It's haunting me. I never did. What should I do? He heard somebody said something called Hataras and Dharam and the Kol Nidre. Could he do that? You know, I spoke to him. I said, first of all, it gets very complex. I spoke to a couple of Rabbanim about it, whether you can be Matan Nedra on such a thing, whether it was a Nedra or a Shvua to begin with. The Shvua is not necessarily Chal on a Shvua, and there might be Chal. It gets very complex. But I said, look, I said, it's not even the issue. I said, the issue really is you're going to feel like a louse. Hashem delivered on his end of the bargain, and you're going to slink away from your end of the bargain? He says, no, I don't want to get out of it. I just feel, I don't want to just want to do it because I promised. I want to do it because I really want to do it now. All right, so that's what we're holding, and I advise him, because he's getting married now, and his wife is just starting to get on board. I said, listen, don't do 12 weeks in a row. It's probably not going to work out for your wife. Do once a month an absolute full Shabbos for an entire year, and you got to do it. He said, he's masking, he agrees, and I'm sure from there he'll build. The story itself, to me, spoke on many levels. First of all, you just see the idea of a Yiddish neshama, the deep down ruts of a neshama. Why is he cutting this deal with the Eibishter if he doesn't really believe in an Eibishter? And it was clear to him. He said, Rabbi, I have no explanation. It has to be Hashem delivered. He was absolutely certain. He didn't become a mammon because of this. I mean, I think he developed his own reason for emunah, but it was clear to him was a signal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to one extent, he delivered on his commitment. It was not easy to rip himself away. He got into an Ivy League college. He had to get a deferral. His parents thought he was a wacko, but he's doing it. So he did live up to his commitment. The last 12, he got back to America. America, obviously, had other things to offer him, and he fell through on that until this point. But to me, the lesson was many levels. The power of Yiddish and Neshama, the power to speak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power to live up to commitment. Was Meir did a gevurah on his part to live the commitment. It was not easy for him. And at the same time, the guilt that he feels, that he knows he owes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, those are the same feelings that really should be coursing through our minds and our souls as we prepare for Yom Kippur. That deep down we want to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's me, Mamakim. And we call for Mamakim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have a relationship with us. On the other hand, that we have to live up to our commitments. On the other hand, there are some that we fall short of. Now, it's interesting. You all know that during the Aseret Metshuva, the famous Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, the three books open on Rosh Hashanah. For Tzaddikim, written the Book of Life right away, Rishayim the other way, and the Beini is Tluyim Vayimdim. Everyone knows the famous Gemara until Yom Kippur. Somebody once asked, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need a Sefer of Beinonim? What do you say for it? Anyway, the Beini is only, it's like a 10-day Sefer. And then afterwards, he gets Book of Life, Tzaddikim, or Rishayim, Chas V'Shalom. So why need a whole Sefer for Sefer Beinonim? It's because the Beini is at a different place. That means that when a person does tshuva, when a person tries to repair his faults and his flaws, on some level he's on a higher madrega. But makam shabale tshuva, owned in the place that bale tshuva stand, even tzaddikim can't stand. He deserves his own sefer. It's a whole different level. It's a whole different experience and a whole different kedusha. Get his own sefer. It's a special thing when we're able to do tshuva. If I ask you the question, Rabbi Isai, how many people here are looking forward to Yom Kippur? A lot of hands going up. How many people are going, that's a problem. That's a major problem. Maybe that is the major problem. How could you not look forward to Yom Kippur? Do you know what an opportunity it is? It's the problem, gentlemen, is when we get into fights with other people, whether it's our parents or friends or teachers, or chasm b'beim, whoever it might be, and then we forgive each other. But deep down, you probably never totally forgave someone. You let them off the hook, but you keep some sort of grudge in the back of your mind. So you were never toyim. You never tasted what it really means to fully forgive, because you don't know you don't even know the concept of full forgiveness. You can't be masik. What? Somebody forgives me totally and absolutely 100%. We don't know what that is. So we go before Yom Kippur. We can't imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive us in such a way. We're total complete. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers in Yom Kippur. And for part of it, just showing up and desiring the relationship affords a partial kapara. Itzuma shayayim, the Gemara says. The day itself, just by showing up and wanting the relationship. It's a hafalika thing. And yet, none of us looks forward to that. How could it not be the greatest gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us? It's to start over. And it's not easy. We know how hard it is to start over. But Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to wash it for you. You know the example I give you every year, and it's so true. You know about the guy who goes to the car wash, and he cleans the car. Why is he going to the car wash to clean the car? You know it's going to get dirty 2 weeks later. But the difference, gentlemen, is the difference between old schmutz and new schmutz. Old schmutz stays caked on, it gets hard to get rid of. If you wash it out, even if you get schmutz, you'll clean it off again. Rabbi said, Yom Kippur is a chance to get rid of the old schmutz. You don't do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it for you. But you have to desire it. You have to want it. You have to want Yom Kippur. And we just say, oh man, so much davening. Oh man, can't eat. I'm stuck in shul all day. It's the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us. He's going to put us through that car wash. It's literal. When we read Yonah on Yom Kippur, the Vilna Gaon learns the whole Yoyna is not just a metaphor, but symbolic of something else. We all know the story of Yoyna, right? He runs away. The Abish just says, I want you to go on a mission. He tries to run away from his mission. Jews do it all the time. He tries to run away from a mission. And then the Yoyna, the Radiator learns, I'm sorry, the girl learns, the Yoyna represents the Neshama, because the Yoyna is a very loyal bird. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the Yoyna runs away, and he goes onto a ship, and the ship represents the guf, and the yoyin is the neshama, and they have a stormy relationship. And at the end, the soul says, I can't handle this, it's not going to work, I went overboard, I'm not going to make it. At the very end, the bottom line is, he's thrown overboard, he's swallowed up by a fish for 3 days, then he gets spit out to Nineveh. We all know the story. The 3 days, because after a person dies, it says the soul doesn't leave the body for 3 days. It hovers over the body. It really can't part with its body. But the Vilna Gaon learns his whole story is about, it's a scary concept. Scary means we don't know what it's all about. Gilgul Neshamas. That Neshama gets a second chance. That this Yonah represents a soul, was given a second chance at life. And the reason why we read it about Yom Kippur, because every Yom Kippur, we go through a mini Gilgul. We go through a Gilgul, a reincarnation. Hashem, we get immersed in the Yom Kippur, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleanses our soul like that car wash. It's a Gilgul. We're a new person coming out. How it works, we can't do it ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it for us, and He does it for us. But you have to want it. You have to want it. As I said, there's something special about Baal Tshuva. You know, we're in a political season now, and I remember years and years ago, there was a guy, you probably remember his name. His name was Walter Cronkite. He was the patriarch of all newscasters, and everyone thought his vice was the sagest and everything. And what he said was the gospel. Today, I don't think anybody believes what a newscaster says. They're very partisan, but he seemed to have the very authoritative image that people respected. Anyway, he was once given the opportunity after a presidential election to interview either the winner or the loser. And he chose to interview the loser. He said, you can learn a lot more from a guy who lost than a guy who won. Rabbi Isai, Shevi Yipel Tzadik Kum tells us that even a tzadik falls down and he gets up. And he gets up, but he falls down. But ultimately he becomes better and stronger because of all those experiences. I know we go through times, we say, I tried this already, it didn't work. You're wrong. You tried it already, you struggled. Those kaychas are not for naught. The next time you're trying, you're building on those kaychas. It's not, I'm starting over again. It's not true. Nisyonis tests are a series. Each one is meant to build us and learn from. You could learn from your losses too. The Makkah Shabbat Shuva Aindim, there's a safer for Beninim, because what we go through, even our losses, even the hard times, even when we fail, if we pick ourselves up and try again, if we try again, and that's what Shuva is telling Abishta, listen, I can't tell you I'm going to be perfect, but I'm telling you I'm going to try it again. That's Shuva. And if you go through the process, even when you fall and you fail, but you get up, that's called Shuva, and you have a special Sefer Beinonim for that. How can you not look forward to that special place that we'll have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart? I really didn't want to speak so much about Yom Kippur. I know, I think someone's to think about Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur. I really want to speak of something else. I really want to speak about Yisrael Simei Tshuva in particular. Sometimes it gets overlooked as the bridge, but we really need to focus on Yisrael Simei Tshuva. I just want to spend just literally a few minutes on Yisrael Simei Tshuva. There's a beautiful Shem Shmuel that says, there's a Medrash that says, rather, and the Shem Shmuel explains it, that 1/3 of all our sins are forgiven in Rosh Hashanah, 1/3 of all our sins are forgiven on Eretz Yisrael Tshuva, and 1/3 of our sins are forgiven on Yom Kippur. Now, also, all of the math works out well for all of the math thing. You said 1/3, 1/3, 1/3 equals, yeah, okay, we got that. One, terrific. All our sins are forgiven. It doesn't really cut it. It doesn't make sense. What does that mean? I've got to listen. I can only do 1/3 in Rosh Hashanah. I can't do 1/8. Sorry. I don't have, you know, can't. That's all I can do. I can do another 1/3 Yisrael Tshuva. It doesn't make sense. It hasn't worked out exactly. All the variables are exactly the same. Shem Shmuel explains, no. Refers to the fact that we all know the person is composed of three parts: his head, his emotions, and his guf, his body. And we sin with three parts: we sin with the heads, we sin with our hearts, our desires, and we sin with our body. On Rosh Hashanah, it's all about the rosh. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem wants to know where's your head's at. Are you committed? Do you have resolve to have a better year? It says mitzvah. It's about our heart and the midos that come from the heart. And Yom Kippur, we're looking to be mechaper, even the actions themselves. So let's focus a little bit on Aseres Yemei Tshuva and what Avodah Aseres Yemei Tshuva should be. Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's about our emotions. It's about working on our midos. About working on our character. You know, in this week's parasha, we have a mitzvah, Kisvu Lechem as a Shira Hazois, to write down the Shira, write down the song, which is a Torah. Why is it called a Shira? A song, more than words, is an expression of one's emotions. It's the language of the heart that expresses the depths of a person's feelings. Everybody's feelings are different. Everybody's emotions are different. When you read something, you read the same page, that's the same thing. When you sing a song, nobody sings a song quite the same way because everybody puts a little bit of different emotion into the song because everybody's emotions are different. And then you have the beautiful harmony of everyone singing together, obviously. The Torah has to become yours. It has to be your Shira. You put your midos and your emotions into the Torah. It becomes your song. And sometimes it's because we failed and then we grew from it. That becomes a song, a richer song. You know, people feel a little bit, Rabbi, it's kind of phony. I says my tshuva, I'll be a better Jew, and then I know after Yom Kippur I'm going to fall back. We know that. Yes, that's all the same question. But it's not phony. Chazal tells us we should do it. Why should we do it? Number of reasons. First, a logical reason is if you knew the king was visiting you and you come into your home, you're going to make every best effort to clean up that home before he comes. Your house is going to look like a mess when he leaves. That's not what your house looks like before he got there. But how could you not honor the presence of the king when he comes? And you want to show him how much you respect him. The Reseres Meitshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is coming to visit us. He's knocking on our door. How can we not clean up our act for those 10 days? What an act of disrespect it would be if we didn't do that. But let's talk further, Rabbi Yisai. It's much deeper than that. These days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it easy to do tshuva. What does that mean? That means that even though, as Dr. Schwartz will tell you, it's very hard to make changes, right? He had this whole survey. Could a person really change? It's true. It's a very great question. And the emphasis is, we have something called tshuva that helps us change. And without it, we probably couldn't. But understand what's going on. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a more potent opportunity of tshuva, Seres Mei Tshuva, that means that it's easier to change when Seres Mei Tshuva. Does it mean we'll remain perfect? No. But let me ask something. If you know that you got to dig a hole, it might be hard to dig that hole. It might be hard dirt. But if somebody softens that dirt, it makes it easier to dig, you can dig then. Now, even though that hole might get filled again, but once you've dug it, even if it gets filled again, it's easier to dig a second time. But Rabbi Yisai, during these 10 days, it's easier to make changes. It's easier to grow. You're worried later on you won't be able to maintain it. It's true you'll fall back, but you'll have already made the grooves in your neshama. You'll have embedded into your neshama certain actions, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it easier these days to get through to your neshama. And therefore, even if later on you're going to fail again, it'll be easy to get back on track, because you've made the tracks in your neshama. So Rabbi Yisai, how important it is, to really try to get it as right as we can. When we think about Yom Kippur, we think, oh gosh, I got to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell him, from now on, I'm going to be different. Rabbi Yisai, let's focus on the else. How about for the next 10 days? Not even 10 days. It's less than a week. We're going to be different next week. Can anybody here not say, I can't try to do it right for next week? This guy did it for a whole year. Never kept Shabbos in life, and he kept 40 in a row. We can't keep this one Shabbos right, coming up? Mefarshim Sfarim tells us, actually, that the week between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, Yom Kippur is 1 day, so if Sefer Yeshua was 10 days, do the math, there's a week in between. The Sfarim say that week represents the week of the whole year, meaning every day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, of the Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, whatever you do right, and you live your life right that Sunday, on some level, you repair all the damage you did every single Sunday the whole year. And everything you do right on Monday repairs the damage for every Monday of the year. You keep Shabbos right this Shabbos, you repair on some level every Shabbos of the whole previous year. What an awesome opportunity. What an incredible opportunity. You know how you know somebody's a shaita? What Chazal say? What's a litmus test? Somebody's a fool. If someone gives you a gift and you throw it away, you're a fool. That's the litmus test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift of the Aseres Mei Tshuva, and he said, I'm going to make it easier for you. You can make those grooves in your neshama, and it'll be easier to go weiter. We're going to toss that away. Then we're fools. And it says, a fool, asa l'rachem alav. Can't have rachmanas on a fool. Let's not be fools, Rabbi Yisai. It's a week. 1 week. There's not one person sitting in this room that can't try to get it right for a week. Nobody. So what does it mean to get it right? Let's think of some practical ideas. Obviously, we hear about davening the whole time. Can we daven a little slower and say the words for a whole week? Can we say Nashi Yotza when we go to the bathroom? The sign's up there. For that week. And I guarantee you, guarantee, if you do it this week, it'll be easier the rest of the year. Will you forget sometimes? Likely. But you'll already created a track in your Neshama. It's not just Tefillah. It's not just Asher Yotzer. Of course, it's the tzitzis that we wear every single day. With our parents. We get into fights with our parents. Do you think this week, we could swallow our pride? Even when we think we're right and show our parents the proper respect, for this 1 week, I seriously make tshuva. Do it for this 1 week. 1 week, Rabbi, say, focus on the week, not on the year. That's the gift of Seris Mei Tshuva. And when you do so, you're creating that track inside your neshama that'll give you that track, for the inside track, if you will, for the rest of the year. Chesed HaDei we always talk about. Think of one proactive chesed that you're going to go out of your way to do. Not somebody asks you for a favor and then you're going to do it. Think of one chesed HaDei. This week is the week. And Rabbi say, when you do a chesed with somebody, don't think that you're doing him a favor. You have no idea what a favor he's doing you. We say in the Yugam Midas, chesed v'yemes, right? Chesed v'yemes. Now, chesed is part of the 13 Midas of Rachamim. Emes is usually associated with din, with strictness, truth. Why is the word emes, why is the Midas of emes invoked in the 13 Midos of Rachamim? And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is truthful with us. We get what we deserve. And sometimes we don't deserve it. So what Hashem does? Hashem sets us up. He sets us up. Somebody goes knocking on your door, or some friend comes and asks you, says, could you do me a favor? And you don't realize what Hashem is doing is the following. He says, if you do a chesed with this guy, then you'll deserve a chesed from me. So Hashem sets us up to do chesed, because if we do that chesed, then Hashem can do the chesed that he wants to do with us. That's the emes, that's the din. The din will be, you only get chesed if you deserve chesed, and you only deserve chesed if you do chesed. So chesed and the emes go together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets us up to do chesed, to be zochah, to merit his emes. So everybody's saying, again, the focus on this week, and it starts with this Shabbos. Like I said, this Shabbos, on some level, you repair Shabbosim the entire year. So let's do Shabbos right. That means we come to every davening. That means we listen to the laning instead of talking during the laning. That means we actually open a sefer and just add a little more kedusha to the Shabbos. This one Shabbos, you repair the entire year Shabbosim. What an opportunity. And what a way to walk into Yom Kippur. Not dreading Yom Kippur, but looking forward to Yom Kippur. Because then HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes us one. And another thing to understand, that we don't just stand as individuals. Sometimes you feel, oh, who am I? What do I deserve? But we don't stand as individuals. We stand as a Klal Yisrael. When you daven with your shul, you're at Tzibur. And this membership has its privileges, gentlemen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you take a look, the vidoy is said almost in a demanding way. Hashem, you must forgive us, because you promised we'd always be yours. We have a right to demand it as a tzibur. So when you dive in with a tzibur and you feel part of a tzibur, everybody says that's your job, to feel part of the tzibur and feel part of the shul. And if you do that, you have a right in Yom Kippur to demand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised the Klai would always have nitzchi and you owe us kapara. Unbelievable. We demand it publicly. How can you not look forward to Yom Kippur? An opportunity to get that wash, an opportunity to experience that Gilgul, an opportunity to start new and fresh, not doing it ourselves. And yes, we'll fail, but Sheva Yipol Tzad Vekam means it's a series, Rabbi said. We fail, but we learn from them and we grow. And looking back, we become better because of it. Maybe not at the time. But that's a safer Beinanim that we get. Special safer. And remember when we say Avinu Lakeinu, we'll just conclude with this. We say the Avinu Lakeinu lots of times. I think I mentioned some of my students. There was a story written up a couple of years ago about this prince from Swaziland who wasn't Jewish. And the whole story, bottom line is, he saw somebody reading Hebrew once, and what that was, he was very fascinated. He ended up going to Eretz Yisrael, he ended up converting. He was a prince of a real king, Swaziland. Anyway, Hapfel Gemaisa. The whole story is fascinating. But the one thing I remember is that he would say how the people, he was a real king with real powers. Miyichem Yomis. The king would go thumbs up, thumbs down. Kill you, let you live when you came to him. He said that everybody had to walk lower than the king. You had to bend down because the king had to be on a higher level than you. So he physically had to crouch or stoop. And he said his father was particularly short. So when people entered his room, they had to crawl on the floor because they had to be lower than the king. Sounds a little farcical and silly. But in a sense, it's the respect for Malchus. He said that everybody had to dress him, our king. He said even he, as a child, had to call his father the following. My king, my father. As he called him. My king, my father. That's interesting. Notice how beautiful it is. We don't say that, Malkeinu Avinu. We say Avinu Malkeinu, not Malkeinu Avinu. First and foremost, the Abish is our father. He's our parent. He's also Malkeinu. But it's a beautiful thing. He's not Malkeinu Avinu. He's Avinu Malkeinu. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to go before Yom Kippur to the Kever Rav Shalom. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like David HaMelech forgave his rebellious son Avshalom, how do you not forgive your children? That's how we stand before the Eibishter on Yom Kippur. That's how we stand before the Eibishter. He's our parent. And we have to try. And so I have to tell him. This guy tried, you can try. But Rabbi said again, Aseres Meitshuva, let's work on Amidos. We get angry so often. Why do we get so angry? Maybe we're really angry about something else and we dump on this guy. Or maybe we have ego problems. We don't give people the benefit of the doubt. Where does that come from? We don't give the teacher the benefit of the doubt, Rebbeim, sometimes the yeshiva. Where does that come from? Let's work on those midos during the Aseres Meitshuva, which is working on midos. But again, Rabbi Sai, just focus on something tshuva. Just make these 7 days or 6 days special. Be more deliberate. Create a track in your neshama. So when you speak on Yom Kippur and you say, Sher Maos Mimamakim, it might be the depths of your despair, but the depths of your despair, because you've fallen so many times, leads to the depths of your neshama. And when you speak from the depths of your neshama, like you really mean it, then you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's depths, and you pull his ruts and his love as a parent, which is automatic and a gimme, and it's not logical. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say you're going to be a Zerachimim and a Avinu Malkeinu, we get that special dispensation of a Tshuva Yom Kippur. How fortunate we are, Ashreinu. How lucky and fortunate we are that we have a Yom Kippur. We should embrace it, Rabbi Yisai. We start today through Aseres Meitshuva. A good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Rabbi. From Shemin Sajjah.
Shabbos, handsome. Shabbos. Shabbos.